I love this topic. I knew I was going to talk about it for about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, I don't know. And I feel like as I've continued to get closer to my scheduled date to preach here, like the enemy would say, you can't talk about this. You're not even living it. Look at you. You're not in peace. Have you ever not been in peace? Not if you've been in peace and not been in peace. It's not a pretty picture, right? I'm like, but I'm fighting to get in peace, right? And I grab a hold of peace by faith, and then I'm in peace, and then something happens and I get out of it. We've had a lot of transitions happening in our family and just, you know, different circumstances. And the peace of God is so important for each of us. I mean, we went through a season here the last year, maybe 14 months, where we saw firsthand what it looked like for a nation to lose its peace, right? And even for the people of God to lose their peace in the midst of a ton of unknowns as we went through COVID-19. And, you know, some of you might remember, at first they said there was going to be how many million people did they say at first? In January, February, 2 to 3 million were going to die. I think we ended at 300,000. Not okay. I don't like 300,000 dying. I don't. But 2 or 3 million. When they came out with that number, I was like, oh, a lot of people. Right? So being able to know what your inheritance in the Lord is in the realm of peace is so important for us. You go through personal storms, we go through corporate storms, you go through family storms. Sometimes we'll go through national storms like we did. We went through a global storm this last year and a half. It's been a global storm. Our friends, our ministry friends in Europe are still shut down. I mean shut down. So there are, and storms aren't going to end. Until you go to heaven and Jesus returns, storms aren't going to end. So we've got to learn how to grab a hold of Jesus, how to to know what peace feels like, number one. Sometimes we live so unaware of what's happening on the inside of us. We're just a raging mess on the inside, and we don't even take time to go, whoa, wait, I'm a raging mess. First step, right? Acknowledge, I need Jesus. And then to know that we actually have the Prince of Peace as our Savior. Literally, the Spirit of Peace lives and indwells inside of us. And the more we can renew our mind and lay hold of that, the more that you can go through storms in a supernatural way. When everyone else is like falling apart around you, like, I don't have to do that. I actually have the Spirit of Peace in me. So Philippians 4:6, I have to say, is a verse I'm pretty sure I've read every single day for a full month. Really, every day for a full month. I will read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. For a minute, I thought, wow, I had a busy day. I hope I'm ready to preach this. I'm like, what? I could preach this in my sleep. I read that verse. Let's start out with this. Don't worry about anything. Now, if we just stopped right there, okay, don't worry about anything. Now, every worrier in the room just got more worried. How in the world am I not going to worry about anything? Every person filled with anxiety just went, how can I do that? Great God, give me something else I can't do. No. He doesn't leave you stranded, right? When he tells you something like, don't worry about anything, guess what? He knows what you're going to face. Paul wrote this. And he faced shipwrecks. That's something I've never experienced that. Had some rocky seas out on a boat, but never shipwrecked. He was tortured, thrown in a pit, in a dungeon, beat until they thought he was dead. I mean, this guy knew some trials. There were literally a little group of people that would follow him from city to city to try to stir up trouble to kill him. I mean, I'm sure he was like, gosh, man, don't you have something better to do with your life, people, than ruin my life in every city I go? And in the midst of that, you know, he had the pressure of all these churches he would start. Sometimes he would only have a few weeks or a few months with a brand new Christians that just came out of paganism and darkness, and now they're saved. He had a couple months to give them everything he could give them, and then he just had to flee for his life to the next city. So he had the weight of the churches. He even says this, I have the weight of the churches on me. And in the middle of all of that, he says, don't worry about anything. I think he knows he's tapped into something, okay? So we know we're not supposed to worry. Then what does it say? Instead, pray about everything. That's interesting. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart, and it will guard your mind as you live in Christ. So I want to give you a couple truths. We're going to dissect this verse a little bit. A couple truths about the peace of God. Number one, the peace that you need comes only from God. It can't be found in the world. You got to know it. You got to settle it. The peace that you need doesn't come with a promotion. The peace you need doesn't come with just a better job. The peace you need doesn't come with a better wife or a better husband. The peace you need doesn't come from having more time in front of the television to unwind. The peace you need doesn't come with a better vacation, better hours. The peace you need comes from God, period. There is nothing in the world that touches the peace that comes from the Lord. Nothing. And it's described here as exceeding anything we can understand. Isn't that marvelous?
Yes, it is. Amen.
I remember, I never asked Lisa if I could tell this, but she's such a sweet, open book. I know she would let me share the story. When her mama passed away, and everyone, you know, all the family, of course, is so distressing and upsetting, and there wasn't warning. And she remember saying to Jeff and I, like, man, should I feel bad that I'm not falling apart? I'm okay. Like, I'm really okay. In fact, I just have peace. Her, you know, and it wasn't even her peace wasn't even in her mom's faith on the earth necessarily in Christ. Her peace was just from Jesus. When everyone around her mourning, naturally, no shame in that, right? Here she stood going, I got a peace that exceeds understanding. Like, I'm actually experiencing it right now. The peace that comes from God, you cannot even explain it, how amazing it is. Number two, the peace that comes from God is actually a guard around your heart and is a guard around your mind. Do you know how many stupid things we do because we get into fear? The peace of God guards your heart and keeps you in wisdom. The opposite of that, the fear of the enemy drives you crazy and makes you make foolish, foolish choices. I am so afraid I'm not going to be liked, so I think I need to do this. Get into the peace of God. It will guard your heart. It'll direct your thoughts. You'll be able to go, actually, it's not that important that those people like me, right? The peace of God guards your heart. How many people have gotten into financial trouble? They get into so much fear, and then they do something pretty devastating. Steal from their work. Do something gray on their taxes. Why? They weren't in the peace of God. The peace of God wasn't guarding their hearts and their minds. They let themselves get into fear, and then it was a spiral into poor choices. The peace of God guards your heart. It guards your emotions when you're in the peace of God. Literally, your heart is protected. Peace is like a shield around your heart and around your mind to help you make good choices and to direct your emotions in the grace of God. Peace isn't optional. When you find you're not in it, you fight to get in it. It's like, I fight to rest in God. The Lord says, rest, rest in me. Sometimes we have to battle to rest. Like, I'm going to rest. I'm resting, Lord. I'm pressing into rest in you. And it's like you have to press through all the other garbage to lay hold of the rest of God, the peace of the Lord. So the peace you need, number one, it comes from God, not the world. The second truth that brings you into peace is when Paul is writing this, he says, worry about nothing, but then he tells you what to do. So if we just say, don't worry about anything, that would just be like saying, just push worry out. But we have to do something in its place, right? I mean, the principle is that we don't just empty ourselves of sin. We fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit, right? If you have a demon, you kick it out, but it's going to come back if you don't fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. That's what Scripture says. Comes back twice as bad, 10 times as bad. So the same is with peace and with worry. When you're in worry and you're like, okay, the Lord says, don't worry about anything. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. It's so much easier, instead of focusing on not worrying, you focus on what God has for you, right? So this is what it says. It says, don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. This is your second point, the truths that bring you into peace. There is nothing so small in your life that God doesn't care about it. And there's nothing so huge in your life that God can't have complete victory over it and through it. And you have permission to talk to God about absolutely everything in your life. Every need, every anxiety, every fear, every joy, every decision. You can ask him what you should wear today if you want to. If it brings you anxiety, you know, to pick out your outfit, just ask him, Holy Spirit, help me. You have permission. God wants to hear your voice continually. Pray about everything. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6 in a few minutes, but this is what Matthew 6 says. Don't worry about anything, like what you're going to wear, or where are you going to sleep, or what are you going to drink? What is that? That's all the daily little stuff. All the little anxieties. He said, don't worry about it. You got a Father who takes care of you. The same thing Paul's saying, pray about everything. So how do you pray? Truthfully, how many of you have went before the Lord to pray about all your anxiety and fears and anxiousness, and you walked away feeling more anxious and more fearful because you kind of just had a ranting session with the Lord, and this is what's terrible, and this is what's terrible, and this is what I have no hope about, and that's okay. Do you know what? You can be honest with the Lord, but the goal is that prayer is a great exchange. I give God something in prayer, and I receive from him something back in that great exchange in his presence. And so Paul tells us, you pray about everything. What does your prayer look like? Tell God what you need. Of course, we all got that one down, don't we? And thank him for what he has already done. This is where faith comes into your prayer. Faith comes into your prayer and the burden's lifted when you're telling him your need in the context of remembering his faithfulness to you over and over and over again. And when I come before the Lord, I'm like, oh, I remember never had a need this big, God. And I'm like, but then I start, but I remember. I remember when you were faithful when I was 19. And I remember when you were faithful when I was 20. And I remember when you were faithful to me when I was 30. And I remember that time when I was 40 and you were faithful to me. I remember this instance and this instance. And we're literally thanking God for the way he's come through. In that place of telling him your need, in the middle of thanking him, faith begins to rise. And this great exchange happens where the burden is transferred to where it belongs. The cross, Jesus Christ. He was meant to carry it. You were never meant to carry it. You will collapse under the load of your life. You will be crushed under the load of the burden of your life. But he will never be crushed under the burden of your life, ever. Ever, ever, ever. I'm going to tell a story. You've all heard it before. I just like it. It's a small little story. I'm going to tell it again. You're going to think, is this the only story Autumn has? No. When we were young, you guys know this, we got married at 19 and 20. We were in Bible college. We were full-time going to school, working, and pastoring. And we were poor as church mice, as they say. I mean, we were so poor and so happy and so blessed. And God just put us right in the perfect circumstances to grow like a greenhouse. Like a greenhouse, plant in a greenhouse. That's what it was like. And so we actually lived, I don't even mind saying this because I think it's hilarious. We lived on $500 a month. And many times people would say, because that's way under the poverty level, even back then, 25 years ago, that like the poverty level when we got married was 12,000. And I remember going, wow, that would be amazing if we made 12,000. We're like at $6,000 a year. And someone would say, well, maybe you should get on food stamps. I'm like, what? They're for poor people. We don't need that. Well, I would be taking it away from someone who really needed it. And sometimes you just don't, you're just too ignorant to even know you're not supposed to be able to live on something or do something. And so you just do it. And it works because God's with you. Praise God. Oh, he's so good. And so, and they would say, oh, you should get on Medicaid so you have insurance. I'm like, again, like, wow, but only poor people, like really desperate. We're not poor. We're not desperate. We'll be okay. And we were. So we had to pray about everything, everything. And so here comes the story, guys. I have a very large, big toe that works its way through all my socks, okay? I'm really hard on socks. If I didn't, I would seriously wear a size and a half smaller shoe if it wasn't for my giant big toe. It exceeds my other toes by a good inch longer, and it's wide, it's deep. It's like a big toe, and it curves up, okay? So I was born with this toe. Even when I was young, I had it. So every pair of socks I own, I would burn through them, and the toe would poke up through, you know, through it. And then, you know, when you have a sock with a hole in it, then it's like your big toe gets trapped. You know, the sock comes down over it, and you feel like you're suffocating your toe, trapped in the hole in your sock. So then I would start wearing the socks opposite so that, you know, where the pinky is would be on my big toe. And when you have, like, cheap tube socks, they're already, like, stretched out and weird. And so I would do that until I wore a hole out on that side. It was desperate. I needed socks. Okay? Needed socks. About 20 years old, married for maybe about a year. And I told Jeff, I'm not really a complainer, so I'm putting on my socks one day. I'm like, I need socks so bad. And, of course, Jeff's answer to me for 25 years, get whatever you want. I don't care. He's awesome. I do the finances. I'm like, we can't afford socks. We'd have to forego milk. Don't you think milk and bread is more important than socks? And he's like, okay, honey, I'm sorry. But it was just this small moment where I said, Jesus, I need some socks. And I'm not kidding. Within a couple days was church. And I never, you know, you don't run around telling the whole world how you need socks. I mean, this isn't even something that you just think about every single day, all day long. And I walk into the church building. And the pastor's wife is there, precious lady, and she comes up to me with like this beautifully a package like wrapped in wrapping paper. And she gives it to me and she says, I have no idea why I'm giving this to you. Seriously, I'm embarrassed. I said, no, thank you. Whatever it is, I'm sure I'll love it. She's like, no, it's ridiculous. And I don't even know why I gave it to you. And then I wrapped it. Why did I do that? I mean, she was literally apologizing for giving me the gift. I said, can I open it? She's like, sure. I open it up. And it's a brand new package of socks. Awesome. Yeah. And I was like, oh my goodness, God, you see me, right? He sees you. Nothing's too small. Nothing is too small. So many times we go throughout our day having one anxiety, anxious moment at another, interactions with people, things going on at work, troubles with our children, and we forget to talk to him, to dialogue with him about everything. God, this is a hard moment right now, but here I am. You've been faithful to me before. I need your help right now. Sometimes it's a 30-second prayer. The exchange happens. I give it to him. He gives me something, his peace. So while I'm on a roll with old stories, I have to give this one to you. So again, I'm a low-maintenance girl. Honestly, I grew up on a farm. I bought all my own clothes starting at age 10 when I got my first job at age 10. By 12, I was working in the fields with my dad. By 14, I was working for the largest farmer in South Dakota, 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. At 14. I was born low maintenance. Honestly, I've never dyed my hair in my life. I don't get my nails done. I love all that stuff. Actually, if someone gave me gift cards or something, I'd be like, oh, that's so fun. But I just don't need it. I don't buy expensive purses. I shop a lot at the thrift store. I'm a low maintenance girl, okay? I like it that way. I enjoy it. So I have a purse when we were first married that I got at a yard sale for $1, I think. Or else it was a hand-me-down from my sister-in-law. Whatever. It's like, I don't spend money on purses, right? I told you what our circumstances were. Well, I had been painting our little trailer, painted it from top to bottom, made that thing as cute as it could be, our little trailer house. And I got paint on my purse. The only purse I had, and it was already probably ugly, honestly, but now it had paint, like literally a paint swatch across it. And I was like, oh, it's really ugly. I mean, it's just, it was never cute, but now it looks like hobo. You know, it's really, really ugly. And so, again, I just said a breath prayer to the Lord. Lord, I would love a purse. You know, I'm never going to buy it. I'll go to my grave with this purse before I would give up a gallon of milk to go buy it. I just pray this 30-second prayer. And the next day, I go to church. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. I prayed this prayer. This beautiful lady, I adore her. She's a hairstylist. Aren't they always just great? Hairstylists are always so stylish themselves. They dress cool. They just like so cute, you know? Anyway, she comes to me and she's holding this gorgeous purse. And she says, I cleaned out my closet. And I found this Dooney & Burke purse that I never use. And she says, here's the lifetime warranty. I'm like, this purse has a lifetime warranty? Yes, because purses that expensive have a lifetime warranty. And she's like, honestly, it was like brand new. She's like, I never use it. And I just felt like I was supposed to give it to you. And I was like, thank you. I didn't even know the brand. I never heard. I'm a farm girl from South Dakota. I never heard of this brand at this point, okay, honestly. But everywhere I would go, classy people would come up to me and go, oh, you got a Dooney & Burke. I'm like, yes, I do. I've got a Dooney & Burke purse. It has a lifetime warranty, I hear. It's God's. He is so beautiful in his provision over us. And he's so beautiful in the way that he takes our anxiousness and he brings us peace. So when he says, don't worry about anything, pray about everything, he says, tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. We need to know nothing's too small, nothing's too big. You guys know the testimony of this church. We prayed for this building in cash and we needed 100,000, we had 80,000 saved. And we needed $100,000 more dollars in 6 months. It had taken us 10 years to save the $80,000. And $100,000 in cash came in 6 months, and we bought this debt-free. God knows. If he hasn't brought in every single penny to build on, it's because he wants this church to know how to serve and go to two services, because he just wants us to dig deep in serving. He wants us to grow in a different way. And the minute he's taught us everything that we need to learn, we're going to have every dime to move forward to all be together again. I'm convinced of it. Good. He's just smarter than me. I choose the easy road. He chooses the road of the best growth. Yeah. It's all good. Okay. So this thanking him for what he's done, each of us were in Christ. We're in the process of building a history for God that's like a root system of a tree. Right? The strongest trees are the ones not with the largest stem systems. They're with the largest root systems, right? Those are the strongest trees. So a lot of places that get a lot of rain, like the West Coast, you think some of those trees are like, oh, they're giant, they're huge, they're beautiful, they're green. But I tell you, I take a South Dakota tree any day to one of those in how it weather a storm. Because you're in South Dakota, your poor little tree's never going to have enough water. They're going to have to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And then they're going to have to endure a blizzard. And then they're going to have to endure 30 below zero. And then they're going to have to endure a tornado and a 70 mile an hour side wind. And by the time that tree in South Dakota gets to be 60 years old, nothing in heaven or hell is going to uproot it. Aren't you glad you're from South Dakota?
Yeah.
So when we thank the Lord for all he's done, what we're doing is we're reaching down into our root system and we're saying, God, we remember. We remember when you provided in this way. We remember when you came through in this way. We're reaching down into the, hopefully, the ever-growing root system that you're building. Yeah. So if you're only one day in Jesus, don't worry. You got a one-day root system. It's what you need for tomorrow. Amen. Guaranteed, it's all you need for tomorrow. Just keep growing it.
Yeah.
Keep saying yes to the Lord. It'll go deeper. It'll go larger. Yeah. Number three, I could stay on that for so long. The truce to bring you into peace. While you're coming before the Lord, we got to remember who you are actually praying to. It's not Santa Claus in the sky. Who are you praying to? God, when you come before the Lord with your inner chaos, the chaos of your life, he wants you to know he's not just anybody to you. He's daddy. Specifically, father. Very, very specifically, when you are going through anxiety, it's really important that you know who your dad is. And I think there's a reason why I was just really noting this in Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, the Sermon on the Mount, how many times Jesus describes God as Father. He's telling us how to relate to him. And the first thing he says is, disciples are like, how should I pray? He says, okay, yeah. Let me teach you how to pray. First thing, our Father who art in heaven. Because before you do anything, you got to know you're coming to Dad. You're not coming to an aloof, far away God. You're not coming to someone too busy. He's not just your creator, although he is, right? He is Dad. He is Father. And so after he goes through the Lord's Prayer and he says, let's get this straight, guys. When you come before the Lord, it's our Father who's in heaven. That's who you're approaching, Father. Then he goes into, right after that, into Matthew chapter 6, where he's like, you can't serve money and God at the same time, right? He says, you've got to choose to serve God. And then he says this, you cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Isn't this just what we're talking about? Whether you have enough food or drink, so don't worry about it, guys, right? Don't worry about whether you have enough food or drink, or whether you have enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food? The body's more than clothing. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. He's saying, relate to him as Father in the midst of getting peace. He's Dad. Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him, to who? Father, than they are. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Verse 28, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. When we are coming before the Lord with this issue, getting peace, we're coming to Dad. He already knows. He knows what you need. He loves to hear about your day. No detail. Like, I love when my kids want to talk to me. I love it. They're not a bother. I adore them. I want to hear every detail of their life. I want to hear about their friends. I want to know how their day went. I want to know what's going on in their hearts. I really, really care about them. On the same token, I would take on a raging wild bear to protect them. I would. I've said this a million times. I would definitely take a bullet for my kids, and I'm sure that every mom in here feels the same way. How much more, Daddy God? How much more, your Heavenly Father? If I'm loving in an imperfect way, and I know how much I love, like I know I'm passionate about my kids. I love them fiercely. I would fight for them. I do fight for them. We fasted for our kids. We pray for our kids. We're there. We do the best we can in our brokenness, right? But we're there for our kids. But if I'm a broken person, how much more our Heavenly Father? How much more perfect is He? So when you're coming before the Lord in the middle of a storm to get peace, you got to know who you're coming to. You are coming to Dad. I was wondering if you could get some music. I think I lost my musicians till We Found Sound. That's okay, though. If you could just get some, in a few minutes, we'll need some music. So we'll just do it through the... Praise God. I'm going to tell you one more story, and then we're actually going to just wrap this up, and we're going to have an opportunity to pray for each other. And I want... My goal is like that the Holy Spirit would so minister to us that we walk away with a depth of peace in our soul that would truly be a guard over our hearts and a guard over our minds. We'd walk forward in the peace of God. So years ago, like, I don't know, we've been in here on 16 years, right? About 15 years ago, I was on a real journey with the Lord revealing Himself as Father to me. And it was really, it was a powerful full year of my life where the number one thing God was saying to me is, I'm your dad. I'm your dad. And this is what it looks like, Autumn. And boy, that year was so powerful to know Him as Father. It was so powerful. Maybe the most powerful year of my life as far as just coming into something. During that time, the Lord gave me a vision. And I saw this beautiful, dark-haired little girl. She had long, curly hair. She's maybe like 2-3 years old, probably about three. She was playing with her dad. And it was beautiful. Her dad was so engaged with her. You know, just, you know, I love watching daddies play with their little ones too. I mean, it's just, it's heartwarming, right? And they were playing together and he was, you know, just like running around with her. And it was so cute. And then he scooped her up into his arms like this. And he tossed her in the air. And all of a sudden, I saw in the vision, I saw her face. And she had an utter look of complete terror on her face. I mean, it actually surprised me in the vision. I was like, whoa. And the Lord said, Autumn, that's you. You actually think I'm going to drop you. And I was like, whoa. I do think you're going to drop me. And, you know, Malachi was like three when he was diagnosed with diabetes after our first year living in Huron. It was super hard and so, so sad. It was such a sad time for me as a mom. And I came out of that feeling like, can I trust you to not drop me? And when I saw that vision, I was like, whoa, God. And he said, you think you're going to drop me? but I have never dropped you. It was so healing. As he just went through, like, I'm father to you, Autumn. I'm father to you. I'm father to you. And in the scary moments when it feels like you're getting some airborne a little bit because I tossed you up, don't worry. I'm there. I'm dad. I am always going to catch you. Always going to catch you. And I just feel like today there are some of you that you have not maybe known the Lord as Father. And if anything, you are a little afraid of God. And praise God for the fear of the Lord. He's amazing. But there's also a truth about the Father heart of God. He's so approachable. He's approachable when you're a mess. When you're a mess, he wants you to approach him. When you're at your worst, he really wants you to be right there. Let's stand up right now. I wonder if I could have our leadership team come up to the front. We're just going to have a time. We're going to let people come up for prayer. So if you're on the leadership team, I'd like you just to come up and kind of come across the front here.